No.
Public. Okay. Well, let's get started. I'd like to welcome everybody to the June 18th Powder Mountain Water and Sewer Improvement District meeting. This meeting is basically open to public comment at this point. Do we have any members of the public who wish to comment? Okay, let's move on to item C, approval of consent items. Number one, request for approval of district bills to be paid. Warrants number 497-518 in the amount of $63,671.03. Item number two, request for approval of the minutes for the meeting held on May 21st, 2019. Item number three, ratification of payment to Sage Forensic Accountants accounting for $752.50. Do we have any discussion on these items?
Bob, I think it's warrants number 497 through 520 instead of 518.
I see 518. Yeah. Okay, I'll correct my copy. I've got 518 this in black letters here on my copy.
Yeah. Ours says 520.
Yeah, and the dollar amount.
Fair enough. Different.
Yeah.
Is there a different dollar amount?
Yeah, $64,068.79.
Yeah, and Carrie just stepped out.
Okay.
Bob, for just a minute, she had a phone call, so she made adjustments on these the last minute, and that's probably what's happened. She didn't get that copy to you.
Okay. Let's go ahead with any comments, questions the board members may have at this time on any of these consent items.
I don't think I have a consent.
Hearing no comments or questions, I'll entertain a motion.
This is Ron Wilson. I make a motion that we approve the consent items.
Do I have a second?
I'll second. This is Mark.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Roy?
Yes, let's see. Mike doesn't have.
No, we,
yeah, you're right there.
Yeah, but we don't have the consent items.
Oh.
They were in the email packet.
They're in the email. Okay. And unfortunately, again, Carrie stepped out. Okay, I'm sorry. We're just trying to regroup here, Bob. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead now. Do you want me to hit the business item?
Okay, Roy, can you present? I've got a completed motion in my mind on the consent items.
Okay.
Okay, Roy, can you walk us through the business items?
Yes.
Item by item for action or approval, please.
Yes. The item number four is approval of a resolution for the certified tax rate for our property taxes from both Cache and Weber County. I don't know if Carrie put that in there either. We have to do this each year in order to certify the amount, the certified tax, there it is, under item number four. The amount of money that we'll actually generate, and the county, based because of the increased valuations of the property up on Summit, went from about $80,000 to about $80 million to $200 million in assessed valuations. It more than doubled the amount of revenue that we're going to get. However, we cannot claim that at this present time. We'll have to claim what we had budgeted. And then this fall, when we set our budget, and I need to ask the board how you feel about this, we're going to suggest that we go through truth and taxation methods, have the public hearings, and send out the notices in order to capture another $30,000 of income per year from the taxes, from the property taxes. Over a long period of time, that would give us about $300,000. I just need to see what the board's opinion is before we go too far. Now, we want to approve the certified tax rate presently. That would give us $35,000 that we had budgeted in. We can get that money. That's what's going to come to us. Long term, what's your comfort level in raising property taxes? I mean, what happens is when they get an increased valuation like that, going from 80 to $200 million, It lowers the taxes overall to everybody within the district. If we go after the additional $30,000 or $60,000, it will raise those prices back up. So everybody gets a share in the reduction because there's more properties helping to pay our budget bill. But if we want the additional money that it can bring, it's going to raise your taxes on property, and it's not a very popular thing to do. It's only $30,000, but if we don't stay on it and eventually set the budgets right and start collecting this money, eventually you start to lose that volume of money that over a long period of time pays for a lot of things.
If we looked at the average impact to residents in the district?
No, we'll have to do that. Yeah. When we get ready to, we'll have to show what an average price, our average home will pay for the increase. Right now, I guess what we're going to suggest with this resolution is that we accept what we had budgeted for, keep the rate that the county gave us based on the certified rate. It means that your property taxes for the district will drop a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to recommend that you go ahead and approve it at its current rate. Leave the taxes alone. They actually drop a little bit. We'll deal with this in a few more months as we get ready for budget.
What are the individual board members feeling about this? I support Roy's recommendation.
I support his recommendation too. I think, you know, just looking forward, I'm not philosophically opposed to raising taxes. I just want to understand what the average impact is before we go down this road. Because, you know,
yeah,
it's not very pleasant. It's not very popular, I'm telling you.
I mean, we're basically doubling our revenue from taxes, so you're going to essentially double your tax bill. I don't know.
Yeah, so it won't be a lot to each homeowner if they're paying a few dollars, $20 a year. They'll go to $40 a year a piece. But every little bit. I mean, you see, when they see it, they'll say it's a 50% increase or 100% increase on your tax bill. It's not popular. Even if it's $10 going to $20, it's a big increase. So, again, I think the easiest thing, the best thing right now is just say, let's accept the certified tax rate the county gave us. It gives us the amount of revenue that we had budgeted for, and we will consider going through truth and taxation and increasing our taxes later on.
I must admit, I'm not sure I completely understand this. Mm-hmm. I really don't, because the county says we're authorized $60,000, and we're only going to get $35,000.
Yeah, and the reason is our budget was set at $35,000.
Right.
And so based on that, saying that last year, not knowing a lot of what was about to happen, they say you can get as much money as you budgeted for, and we're going to adjust our rate down to match your budget. If you want more than that, you're going to have to go through a notice to all the public, and just like Mark said, tell them how much it's going to impact them, public hearings, notices, quarter page ads in the newspaper.
But okay.
Which we're going to
later on, and we do that later.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the $60,000 that they allocated for us, are they going to have to raise taxes to get us back to that level?
Well, what they'll do is the county will take, if we don't do something, and we're not going to do it now, but they will actually, the county will capture that additional money in their operations, or other people will. It's not allocated.
So we're just giving it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to give up things.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you've been through truth and taxation for ad valorem taxes, Blake. Mm-hmm. Hi, Bob. Blake just came in.
Hi, Bob.
Okay. Hey, Blake.
So what we're talking about is right now the county sent us our evaluations. They're doubled or more than doubled what they were last year. But we hadn't anticipated that. Our annexations all just kind of moved through this year, and we don't know how the timing is going to work out. So the county is saying it's going to generate $60,000 in income, and we had only budgeted for $35,000. And so they're saying you're going
to... Can we amend the budget or do some intermediate step in addition to what you proposed overall, which is wait and see and jump on it when we see and have more information, as Mark suggests?
Yeah, and so
I understand... intermediate step to get to 30. I'm kind of
I would like to amend the budget if it's doable, because... that'll be invisible to the taxpayer.
Yeah, and they want you to amend the budget without amending the certified tax rate, which means you have to put out the quarter page ads, notify the public, tell all of them what you're doing. It's not an easy thing.
Let me understand this, because if the differential in the tax revenue is coming as a result of an increase in valuation of the property, the majority of the increase in valuation of the property is because of the
new growth
district annexation, then in theory the tax rate should stay the same. Individual users shouldn't see an increase, and it's basically a revenue allocation from the county, because they're going to be collecting the taxes back to us.
I don't know, Blake, if you understand, so you can correct me. Those increased valuations that just came through, if we're not going to use the cash, we had to have decided that in our budget. So they're only going to allocate based on what we ask for.
Right.
It's a piece of that pie. So they're just saying, okay, since this whole district didn't ask for it, we're going to spread that out throughout the county.
But if what Bob's saying is something that we can actually implement and would have impact, could we revise the budget and claim that money? Or is that, you know, how does that process work?
We can do it this fall, according to what Carrie said she had heard from Roger Bunker. In my experience over the years, that you could usually capture new growth as long as you had anticipated it.
Gotcha.
And you had a budget amount for it. If you don't, you can't just grab it. They take it.
Okay.
And we can check and see if there's some easy way to get it, but I don't.
For
I think
our next budget cycle, we can capture it.
Right, and the paperwork's in there that shows you if we decide to do it, we have to have it done by October to be public hearing in November to take for next year.
Right.
Which is if we have to do a raise and it has to be published and all that other stuff. Right now, this is what we have.
We could commingle the hassle of that public meeting, if you will, with the November budget meeting, right?
Yeah. That it will all be done during the budget hearing in November, everything.
Yeah, if you decide you want to raise it then,
mm-hmm.
we know that, we'll start setting the budget that way, and then
right.
go through
okay.
all
but we
the
have
motion
to,
process.
We have to have everything into both counties before the tax notices go out, because all that information will be on the tax notice.
So is there any
action? I'm in favor of getting those monies, even if it's an intermediary step, piggybacking on to the upcoming budget thing, and then gathering more information, as Mark suggests, about the true impact. But I don't want to just throw $30,000 away because we can't manage a budget revision.
Yep.
Okay.
There's no action that needs to be done today.
Yes, there is.
We still need
What's the action?
Still need the resolution passed for the current certified tax rate and
Which
to move
in
ahead in our budgeting process to get ready to raise the taxes next year. Or this be at the end of this year, sort of budget.
Can somebody put that in the form of a motion if there's no further discussion?
So we have to get the resolution.
Yeah, the resolutions are right here. They're in there. So basically we pass it at the 2.90, which is going to give your budgeted revenue right now at $60,700. And then it shows in there a couple of different tax rates, whatever we decide to possibly go with, what it would be if we were to raise it based on what the proposed rate value is right now. If there's a couple of different ones in there that just kind of were calculated that will tell you what it would be in the future if we went with either one of those rates. But right now, because this has to be done no later than Friday, we have to pass it at the 2.90 right now, and then we can proceed with this as long as it's done by October.
So you're just looking for a motion
for these two right now, and then we can proceed with the rest of it. Yes.
What the auditor's tax or the proposed tax rate?
Yes.
At 0.000290.
And I have to have this back to them no later than Friday. One for cash, one for Weaver.
And that's what you're recommending, Roy?
Yeah. Yep.
Is there any reason we wouldn't go maximum rate by law? I mean, I hate to sound like a tax and spend kind of guy.
No, you've got the maximum by law is
0.008.
Yeah. So we could always figure
that
out.
That's more revenue, right?
Yeah,
for next year, yes.
I don't know if you'd want to go full tax rate. That's a pretty big jump.
Yeah. But that would be for next year.
I'm not afraid of public outcry. I'm afraid of budgetary inadequacies. Personally, mean, like, attendance, well, let's just, what do you guys want to do? Do we have a motion?
So again, I'll recommend that you accept the rates that the county has proposed. The 00029. You accept that rate, and we'll start to budget for it and be ready for next spring when the money's come to us. But we'll put it in the budget. But that's the rate I'm suggesting we take. If you want to be more aggressive than that, and while you're doing it, I think
no,
we have they can
not necessarily. But
okay, I would.
But a November budget hearing will
yeah.
cover us, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm good with that.
So
how
I move
do the other board members feel.
Yeah, I'll move that we accept the proposed tax rate of 0.000290 for that the county recommends for this year.
Do we want to include a motion that we revisit these? Is that a sufficient motion for you, Roy?
Yes, yeah, it's just we'll
okay.
We'll be working on it anyway into in the budget cycle here in the next few months.
Do I have a second on Ron's motion?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I must admit, if I can just add a little bit more discussion, that I really would like to understand this whole process a little bit more thoroughly. I don't have a problem accepting the county's recommendation, but before we go in front of the public and hang everything out, I want to make sure that we're rock solid.
Yeah.
Can we have an education session as a board about this taxation mm-hmm. process prior to that hearing?
Yeah, in fact, actually, I think probably a good person to get would be Roger Brunker from the county. He could come over and talk to you about every part of this.
That's what I wish.
Yeah, maybe at the next board meeting.
Next
not
board
meeting. Okay. Next
sometime
board
in
meeting.
Early fall or yeah. something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, good idea.
That's a good suggestion.
Okay.
Roy, number five, can you walk us
yeah.
through that?
This is Aqua Environmental is a subsidiary of Aqua Engineering, and they're also they're one of the team members with SKM that we approved last month. And the reason I seem to suggest that we enter into some type of contract with these guys is Aqua Environmental is an organization within Aqua Engineering that provides regulatory compliance. They can become the district certified operator in both water and sewer, so that we have one on board under contract. So no matter what happens to our employees, you've always got somebody that can do that stuff. And then they'd also help us with any of our water quality, environmental quality issues. We don't have to use them all the time, but they're just there. And I spoke with him, met with him last week, took him up on the mountain to look at everything, and it was extremely helpful. He knows his stuff. He helps to run Wolf Creek's. Larry Hall is his name. He runs Wolf Creek Water and Sewer Improvement District's sewer operation, helps with that. He also takes care of a number of cities in here in Utah. He takes care of the Kennecott operation, does all their water quality, and got several other states that they operate. Very knowledgeable, and I think he will keep us out of trouble. Kind of one of those good team members that you can just turn to if something goes wrong. He can jump in and help you fix problems and stay current with the laws, make sure all of our due diligence things are being taken care of. And he's actually looking at them right now, and he'll help us make sure that all of our state compliance issues on drinking water are all met.
Okay. Well, is there a scope of work proposal attached to this?
No, so it's not really an engineering firm necessarily. They're almost like a circuit rider that you can hire that comes in and helps you with whatever problems there might be. And again, the thing I like about this is it gives the district protection to have an operator under contract.
Are there published rates that we know that they're going to charge us when we bring them on board?
Yeah, and I didn't actually get those from him because he just barely sent us over the contract, and he's off doing other things. I think it's a family event or something he went to. I'd be glad to bring those back, and we'll look at them as a board before we hire him to do much of anything. But I really would like to just be able to call him and say, hey, I need some help, and ask him questions. I'll be really careful initially. But I'm just going to suggest and recommend this guy will be extremely helpful for the district. And if you want to...
You know, Roy, I'm good with getting him on board, even in the form of a motion to allow you to move forward. But I want that contingent on the board being distributed, both his proposal and his contract rate.
Okay.
And then you can be passively accepting or... get no feedback or whatever of any board considerations, and at least we've closed that loop of board approval of the contract and rates.
Okay, well, I'll be glad to get those and I'll send them out to you on email to review.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we authorize the staff to use Aqua Environmental for regulatory compliance.
Do I hear a second to that motion? Do we need to add in the review of the contracts as part of the motion?
We could add it as part of the motion.
Yeah, I mean, I can't make these motions in my new role here.
Do we have his contract?
Yeah, it's in there. I just looked at it. There's no rates in there. I already looked. I've got it as a contingent.
Are we good on Ron's motion? Do I have a second?
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I think the rest of it can be done at the next meeting, right? The scope and everything else.
Yeah.
You just needed approval to move forward.
So I can talk to him and at least be communicating and working on everything.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry for my terseness, Bob.
Okay, next item is it's about the collection of the fees on lot 8 and 19 in Sheep Creek. And Carrie, I'm since you've been dealing with those collection of those fees, I'll let you ask you to tell the board about what the problems you've had and what's going on in the history of it.
Okay, well, the last couple of meetings we had talked about the county going or the county doing their sales. Well, the one gentleman that I thought for sure was going to be sold ponied up his money. There's one good thing to that being the fact that we did not have our dollar amount on the tax lien, which means we're not out the 33 or the money, but he ponied it up, which in other words, it will be on the next one. But if according to the way he's been doing this and according to the way he's been paying, which he hasn't been, it could be another 5 years and another 5 years worth of fees that we accumulate because he doesn't want to pay his bill. So he ponies it up every 5 years and doesn't let his property go. That's the one. And the one you asked me about, and I couldn't remember his name, it's Mr. Staken.
Okay.
That's lot number 8. Then there's lot number 19. And you guys weren't here at the time. Bob was. We had, back in 2016, there were some properties that I had found that had not ever been built down at Sheep Creek. So we had a meeting. We went back. We billed them 4 years back. And one of them was this lady here. She called me and she says, I'll be damned if I'm going to pay those fees. I was told by Mr. Paul Southwick I never had to pay another thing on this property again, and I'm not going to pay him. So, of course, she's never paid him in 2.5 years. She's my other problem child. And so knowing this, it's going to go in on the tax sale or the tax on the taxes next year. But because these two are blatantly refusing to pay, the question is, do we just let them continue to go, or do we want to do another avenue as far as payment, as far as collection? Now, I know we've talked about this with Blake a couple of times, and it's always been just let him go. So that's still my recommendation, where this guy's paid his money now when I was hoping to get some. He paid his $8,000, and he still has his property, and we have no money. So.
Well, I think we should, my opinion is we let it go, and we do put our bill on his tax notice and see if that gets his attention. Otherwise, we're going to small claims court getting zipped.
Exactly.
So it's not really worth it from my perspective. And let's just let it ride and try to work this avenue with putting it on the tax notice. So maybe he'll say, oh my gosh, I better pay this. I don't know.
So what do you think, Blake? Is that... Is
yeah, you can do that. I mean, but there's no...
There's no guarantee.
No guarantee that you're going to get the money of the
There's no guarantee we're ever going to get it right. until he right. sells.
But is it worth pursuing them in any other fashion to get our money out of them? Is we're suing them over it or?
No. Yeah, but, you know, I don't want to jump ahead to the next agenda item, but we're running into loggerheads with some of our people in our district. Sundown, you know, they're not paying their water connection fees. We've got some stuff we're going to talk about there. With these sort of individual, seemingly insignificant issues, could they be clumped into a policy that would allow the pull, the connection, to actually make them start from scratch? In other words, you've got a vacant lot. You don't actually have a sewer connection at Sheep Creek, much like water and sewer up on the hill.
As of right now, Bob, once that lien is placed, according to the rules and regulations that we have passed, after that lien is placed, they automatically lose it anyway. So it's they're already gone. But the fee just continues and continues and continues. So, yes, we've already that's already a step taken.
Have they been individually informed of that consequence? That's a big problem for a homeowner, I would argue. It would wake me up more than a tax lien.
I don't think we've ever known.
That's an additional step, I think you...
No, we haven't notified them.
Well, the only thing that they've been notified is that there is a lien on the property because it goes out after their 90 days, the letter goes out and certified and they have to sign for it. But as far as what our rules and regulations are, no, not that I'm aware of.
Well, that's an additional step that may give you some traction in this muddy environment with these two guys. Let them know in writing and individually, if you need to pick up the phone, that in fact, their connections are at risk, that this isn't just to pay every once in a while, avoid the courthouse sale, the tax lien, whatever, that doesn't seem to get their attention. But I think if they are formally notified that they're going to lose the connection on the property, in other words, if they do sell or try and connect themselves, that there's no connection there, that they would be subject to capacity issues on the sewer side. I think that message needs to be transmitted in addition to throwing up our hands on small claims court.
Does that stand up okay?
You can just send a simple letter, and then I think I think Bob is right. If you want to make it more urgent for them, follow up with a call. I mean, there's nothing that would prevent you from sending out when you lien the property just a simple letter that says pursuant to our regulations, maybe the citations, the point of the regulations. Your right to the to water to a connection, sewer or water, depending on.
I mean, is that what you need, Carrie? That kind of direction?
That's all
what
I
do you need.
Need
in a motion?
Nope, it doesn't need a motion.
Yeah,
doesn't need a motion
at all because if they're Sheep Creek's like us, where I am, I mean, it's part of the same cluster. They're on Liberty Water, and they're doing the same thing with Liberty Water. I think Liberty Water is oversubscribed and they won't ever get service back if they forfeited it.
Mm. Okay, well, that tells me I will get the letters out. We're good. I'll actually draft one and send it to Blake and make sure it's got the right, verbiage in it, and then I'll get it out.
Yeah. And it can be very
so that's an administrative action. We don't need a formal motion. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's okay. Yeah. We're good.
Carrie, when we were talking about these, we were talking about possibly other properties, right? Any others that we want to deal with?
No, the only other one that would be up for tax sale next year is the gentleman that they foreclosed on the property last week. I should be receiving a check for that one, and then the bank will start making the monthly payments, the monthly standby fee payments until they sell the property. So there is one that I don't have to worry about. I'm just waiting for the check. They foreclosed already.
Which one was that?
Pepe. I can't remember its lot.
Yeah,
his sheep is. It is lot 15. So that one I should be receiving funds on anytime.
Yeah, and piggybacking on Roy's comment, if there's other lots that are accounts receivable problems that you're kind of losing faith in. I think, Carrie, if you have a conversation with Roy and evaluate those individually and pursue the sort of aggressive letter, phone call about losing the connection, that might be an additional prod.
Right.
Is that okay?
Oh, no. He usually sees this. And I also actually have a copy here, and I forwarded one to you, Bob, and I outlined.
I saw
it. Did you get that?
I saw it.
Okay.
I did. And okay. We can talk about it more specifically in your report, item E.
Okay.
Okay. Roy, you want to tell us item 7?
Yeah, so you should have a copy of a letter received concerning the property, lots up at Sundown Condominiums and their standby fees. Because I think you've got a chance of that. So, same situation with this is that they're refusing basically to pay the standby fees and then threatening to, their legal counsel is threatening to challenge it and everything. We talked to Blake about it, and he feels comfortable that we're still solid on those standby fees and that we should hold strong on pulling the developmental rights off of the property and let them challenge us on it. And that sound right, Blake?
In essence, what this attorney has been doing is just been stalling out because they want to transfer the property. They don't have money. They're not going to initiate any litigation against you. This is just another letter just to kind of try to buy more time.
So we know, obviously we know what their back fees due are. Mm-hmm. What are their other obligations? Is it tax obligations too, or do they make
Not that I'm aware of. As far as I know, their taxes are fine. I checked on that, and there is no delinquent taxes on the property. He's
and
paid
what
that.
What are their back fees?
Right now, they owe $78,758.61.
So, in their hopes, his hope is to get rid of the property, probably give it to the church as a donation,
yeah,
right off on
taxes.
Tax
benefit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry, Bob.
Well, we're comfortable forfeiting their connections, which, in a limited capacity situation for us, that's probably net a good thing, given the fact they're not paying standby fees. And if they resurface on the new owners, they start from scratch. Is that the skinny?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it
Got
is.
It.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking creatively. Do you know Greg Arnett? Bob?
No.
You do, right? Mike? Yeah. I mean, he owns a Sundown condo. He's got plenty of money. He might just want to protect the land around it. I'm trying to think of a way that the district could get paid if he paid this guy 2x what he owes so he could actually pay his fees to the district and walk away with something equivalent to his tax benefit. Then we would actually get our money. I don't know if I'm allowed
Can you
to.
Call this guy?
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll call Greg tomorrow and see. So.
Yeah, we're moving on this. I mean, this ball's been being kicked around a lot.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Greg Arnett.
Yeah, I think any way to settle it sounds good.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
So is that something Mark you'll grab and work with Blake on and
Yeah,
Roy?
I'll just call Greg and see what his appetite is. I mean, he's constantly looking for a place to build a helicopter hangar up there. You could put it on that land. If it, yeah. So.
That's a tough LZ, as we say.
Yeah.
Seeing rotor blades into that hillside.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't have to do anything more on that. We'll just pursue that. If that doesn't work out, then again, we just tell him we're
He'll tell me one way or another tomorrow, whether he has any interest.
And then we'll send that. We'll send a letter off to this attorney and tell him that they've lost their rights.
Yeah.
And see where it goes from there.
Do we want to back that up with a board motion to codify that as a board agreement?
Hold on, what, Blake?
I was just going to say, I think that's a wise idea, Bob. But the reason why I feel so strongly about this is if you look at the language in this letter. It's again, it's just very wishy-washy. It's They don't have, I mean, they don't actually have a deal with the church. They don't, they set up a meeting with us 2 months ago, and the guy didn't even show up, and his excuse was he withdrew from Salt Lake and got stuck in traffic. I drove from Salt Lake and
you were here,
and I was here for the meeting. So, I mean, I just don't. I think they've just been trying to stall this off as long as they possibly
okay.
could. So I think a motion.
So we do not need a board motion on this particular agenda item. Is that what you're saying, Blake?
No, I think a board motion would be good, just to give Mark the direction to go ahead and do this, and then for us to send the letter on this. I mean, we're at that point now. We're
okay. Having heard that, I'll entertain a motion. If there's not any further discussion.
The motion's authorizing me to do something. I'll feel right making it.
I mean, I'm good with just authorizing our legal counsel and management to move forward with the rescinding development rights at sundown.
That's a perfect motion.
Okay.
Yeah. Can somebody repeat that again? I can't make motion.
I'll make the motion that we authorize district management and legal counsel to send communication regarding the Peterson property that we're rescinding their service rights.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and then thanks, guys. And then we've got a special board meeting that we've sent out notices on, asking everyone to participate on July the 1st at 2 o'clock. And that is specifically to deal with any legal issues, our wells, water rights, and other things. And that'll give us time to focus on those items, and also it'll give our engineer and hydrologist time, myself, to put together a plan forward and what to do with the wells and water sources and or other things that we might do to ensure water security for the district.
We'll be able to talk about this in closed session, some of these specifics today. Do we have any further discussion on the need to have this meeting?
No.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion? What? You mean
we have this meeting? I assume it's actionable. In
no.
Feel free to chime in, Blake, when I don't understand what needs to be motioned.
Any motion to call a special meeting for any reason or. Doesn't really matter. We just call it.
Doesn't really matter. You can call
okay.
a special meeting.
Okay.
So
okay. Hey, we're good on that.
Notice. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be public notice.
Yeah.
As long as you notice. Yeah.
Okay.
And then.
Okay. I'd like to move on. Go ahead, Roy.
I'd say the last item, number 9, is a discussion concerning the boundary declaration map. A couple of reasons.
So I don't have that on my agenda, actually.
Oh.
But that's okay.
Okay. So item number 9, Bob, it was a discussion concerning the boundary declaration map. The reason that's there is the state Lieutenant Governor's office is requesting that we send a map with a meets and bounds description on it. It's something that's been required that the district has never done. So we'll send a map in that's being created by the engineers. It shows our proposed boundaries. It also will show the boundary and what the description. I don't think we'll have ready in time, but we'll get the map to them. They'll request the boundary, and we'll by then hopefully have a description done. But the engineer will complete a meets and bounds description. Yeah, in fact, you can see in your packet, there's a map.
That's a nice chart.
Yeah, so it's hard to see the colors on that. In fact, I'm asking the engineer to change those. If you look at the map right in this very center, you can see the little, you see the lines for the district etched out there. Right in the very center, and then the outer lines is the proposed area that we could serve in the future. There's a legend on the side, kind of gives you some colors, but again, they're not very visible, and colors are too much the same to really get a good idea. Well, anyway, so we'll describe the smaller description in the center. And send that to them. And we'll cross-hatch that next time so you can see it a little clearer. And then also show the Sheep Creek and Snowflake will be included in it.
How about Eden Heights? Will it be included in it?
No, not as existing boundary. So they're looking for existing boundaries that have been annexed in the district.
Uh-huh.
And Eden Heights was never annexed in the district. It's what the lagoons are, but it was never annexed.
Yeah, but your proposed balance would be.
Yeah, for the future.
It would include it in the future.
Yeah. Now, also, we're also working on cleaning up a couple of small areas. It's hard to see without showing you up where the parcels are all at, but there are several little parcels that were never annexed, or they missed the annexation, or they just developed without bringing them into the district. So again, Blake, we'll bring those to you and identify them on an exhibit, and then have Blake help us to bring them in because they've been receiving service. And it's just kind of a simple process if they've been receiving service, if I remember
it's,
right.
It's more streamlined if they've been receiving service for, I think it's the period of a year or so.
Yeah, so it's several years. So we're working on that same thing right now. The engineers are working on all of those items and getting all these maps done and getting the descriptions done. But this is something we have to move on. We have to at least get something to the Lieutenant Governor's office to say we do have a boundary. I think we may have to prove the existing or the original district boundary, and then every annexation will have to list when it took place and what the description was. So it's not going to be an easy process to find all that. But it's mandated. And that's because it identifies taxes and which properties are being taxed. That's what the state tries to look at of all districts. So I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, Bob?
Is it more efficient to just get all these other little parcels through Blake and clarify that, and then submit a completely clean version of our boundaries, or do it now and then resubmit? What's the most cost-efficient way?
We had a timeline to get this in.
This has to be in by the end of June. I've got a week and a half to get it in, and then if it's not what they want, they kick it back, but I actually have to have everything filled out and something submitted by the end of June.
So it's to meet that requirement, then we'll be working on the fix.
Okay, good. So I do have item 9 actually on a revised agenda. I apologize for looking at one that was the day before. So what do you need from us, Roy, on this? Sorry if there's not any further. Is there further discussion about the need to submit this?
No, I think more than anything is to help you understand that this is an issue that was not dealt with over the years, and in case it ever comes up, we're dealing with it, fixing the problem. And we'll get the boundary description done and the annexations done and the and everything clarified, and also we'll deal with these other annexations that are out there with Blake and get clean this all up and get a good document for you. But we want to make sure you guys knew where it was at, and that right now we're out of compliance with the state on this particular issue and describing the district boundary with a meets and bounds description.
Can you send us soft copy on like a Google Earth overlay so we can actually look at this on Google Earth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to see the existing and then what we're proposing, and whatever Wasatch Civil Engineering comes up with, I'd like to see it on a soft copy too.
Okay. Yeah, Google we can Earth. Do that.
We'll likewise.
Get it on some colors.
Send that to everybody. That would help me.
Okay. Yep, we can do that.
That way I can blow it, shrink it, do what I want with it without messing it up.
Throw darts at it.
Huh?
Throw darts at it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion on the boundary document if there's no further board discussion.
I don't know that we'll need one on this, Bob. It was more informative for you
Fair
guys
enough.
to help you understand where we're at.
Fair enough. Are we ready to move to Treasurer's Report, item E?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Go
You've
ahead,
got
Terry.
Your PTIF account. We have $106,362 in there. And your Zions accounts, you've got in the general account $28. In the impact fund, you've got $50. And there's still that $7,000 sitting in the bond fund because we haven't issued a couple of checks out of that. And so that will, I've actually submitted another requisition, so that will go up here shortly until we pay some bills. Now, this isn't in the board packet. Bob, you do have one, but just in case, I have an updated version, and I've kind of cleaned this up. If you want to look at it, an updated version of our accounts receivable, since we've been discussing a couple of them. I've outlined which ones actually have liens on them and which ones the letters have gone out. Roy and I discuss this all the time, so there really isn't anything, you know, there's those three problem children I told you about. There's two of them that I have received phone calls on in the last 2 days that are selling, and the title companies will be sending me checks, and then I can take those off. But for the most part, it's just a couple of people on here. I mean, like I said, I've got them outlined if you want to take a look at it. It's not public record because it's their names on it. But
you feel free to forward it to me after the meeting, Carrie. But I view accounts receivable. I mean, some of them are hopeless accounts, but mm-hmm. some of the bigger ones, like the Banjo Boy account, for example, like that caught my eye.
Banjo Boy shouldn't be behind.
Who's Banjo Boy?
That cement.
No, that's FT. That's FTTP.
That's the bunker up there.
Yeah, and we've actually.
Yeah.
We actually pulled the rights on that one. That one has got the rights pulled on that one. Okay. And.
Really.
Yes. Well, you requested that. So we did it.
Maybe I thought out loud.
well, we ran with it. We pulled the rights on that one, and we pulled the rights on Powder Ridge. The only one that we didn't pull the rights on was Sundown, because at the time, he was going to proceed with new plans, and so we didn't worry about it. And that's why it was brought up again today. So really, the only other one out there is, then there's another one that we will send a letter to. And this was a gentleman that had turned his rights over last year. It was a deed... anyway, he deeded it over because it was collateral on a loan, and he called me and says, I've just deeded it over. I've been paying it, but I can tell you right now he's not going to, so I slapped a lien on it that same day, and I still haven't gotten any response, so that's another one. It's only a couple thousand, so I didn't really push it because I didn't have the right address, but other than that, it's just little stuff.
Could you send it to me?
Got it. Mm-hmm. Well, I would suggest and think appropriate that before we actually pull somebody's rights, and I'm assuming you gave them fair warning on that, did you?
When those letters go out, they are actually gone out as they must sign for the letter. And that's how I usually get people to call me, is because they sign for it. So, but yes, like I said, without this letter that we are going to draft now, it's always been a lien letter going out saying you've got 30 days to cure your to cure it, or you've lost everything once the lien goes on. So.
Okay. So as long as we've closed the loop in terms of fair warning, I suppose, would be a generic term. I'm okay.
Yep. I'll let you look.
Anything else anybody want to talk about on the treasurer's report?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
This is Ron. I've been looking at the financials now for about, I guess, 6 months, and I think we're doing a good job. But I think there's some changes that we should institute just because we're accountable to all the property owners, and we need to have good visibility on some of our stuff. And I would like to see the credit card statement, or all the charges on the credit card, included in the meeting, and I would like to see it annotated with what those charges were for. Okay, just simple, just quick little notes that you could write on it so we can take a look at the credit card. So if somebody ever questions us, we can defend it. And there are things there, like there are business lunches that you all have. And business lunches may be absolutely essential and for what you guys do, but I would like to see, when you have a business lunch, who was in attendance and what the purpose was for the business lunch. That way, when we get asked by somebody, you know, what did you spend this money on at the Union Station, we can say, you know, it was a meeting with whomever why it was.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay? And, because, you know, there's things that I would like to have seen up front, like the when we put the Connex up there. You know, you guys instituted that, and initiated it on your own without board approval. Mm-hmm. And I'm not suggesting that the board has to approve everything, but it might be good to make a few calls to the board members and at least let them know what you're doing so we're not surprised in a meeting. Because I think at the last meeting, Jim and Bob expressed some shock that that had been done, and I think we can we could probably soften the blow, if you will.
Yeah, it's always good too, because if somebody does question it, then at least you can answer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. The other thing that I've noticed is that we purchase a lot of clothing for employees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't. My particular position is that we purchase safety gear that they have to have, but as far as their shoes and coveralls and stuff, that's what you have. That's what you use when you come to work. If you hire a contractor, you know, they don't give them his clothes. They come in jeans and a t-shirt or a sweatshirt. So we send people out to Smith and Edwards, and they all get fitted for all an outfit in essence. And then we fire them 2 weeks later, and they're gone with our outfit. And so I would like to see if it's at all possible that we restrict what the district pays for to safety items, hard hats, any special gear, breathing apparatus, rigging. If they have to have hard-toe shoes, and you know that might be an exception also. But that's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, and so part of the, what's the name of the
TAPS insurance program?
There's a program we participate with our insurance company, and we go through these trainings and such, and by doing that, then they reimburse us a certain amount of money, and we use that money to go towards these kind of things, like safety shoes and gloves and things. And sometimes, again, even things like the pants and stuff, but or coveralls. Now, wintertime, we have tried to supply those heavy coveralls because it's a dangerous place to be up there. We guess we don't have to, but...
I buy my own Carhartts. I don't know if we're supposed to provide that.
Okay.
I mean...
Well, I guess the policy...
It's a decision that the board mm-hmm. needs to make, but... Yeah. I've never been in an organization except the Army where they provide your uniform.
I don't know. I'm going to have to defend the board on this because
okay.
there's stuff that happens. Like look how well-dressed Roy is right now, okay? An emergency happens up there. He needs to go work. He needs to be able to change out something that's in his car that's provided by the district. He can jump in a hole like when we had that big water leak behind the bunker there. It's not like we're a huge organization and, you know, nobody's buying me clothes, but I could understand where the Jeds and the Roys and, you know, need something like that to get where they need to get safely.
I don't know. I see it differently. I appreciate what you're saying, Mike, but I always had, you know, if I was in a regular business clothing, I had other clothing that was in my vehicle in case I had to go dirty or something. But that's just me. I would defer to what everybody else thinks
is
appropriate.
We have a lot of employees like that, you know, our mechanics primarily. And typically what we do is we provide them with coveralls.
Make sense.
Yeah, and we provide them with coveralls, anything under that. And then the only other thing I would say is that if it's someone that could potentially be going up and knocking on someone's door,
mm-hmm.
it's nice to have something that's logoed to give that person in that house some assurance that this person's officially working in that capacity rather than, because I mean, our trucks aren't really that well made now. They're just like a little.
I don't think we have anything logoed. We don't have logoed coveralls right now, do we?
Not on the coveralls,
no,
but
we just have those business shirts
that you provided
everybody. I have no problem with those that you guys wear
mm-hmm.
for you know to represent us in meetings and mm-hmm. things like that. That makes perfect sense to me. I'm just looking at it from how do I justify this to my neighbor,
mm-hmm.
okay, when they ask me. So
okay.
Whatever you say.
I,
go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think we just need to be sensitive to that particular point that Ron made. you know, we only have so much money. It comes typically from customers, and we just need to be aware and sensitive to anything that could even be misconstrued as sort of injudicious spending. So that's all. That, I would agree with that.
Yeah, so I wonder if...
Ron's point are well taken, and as board members, we need to look at these invoices carefully and make sure that they meet our standard of prudent spending.
Mm-hmm.
So what if
on the clothing, the money that we get, we restrict it to the amount of money that we get from the trust for safety equipment, which in their eyes is goggles, hard hats, coveralls,
shoes. I have
shoes,
no problem with
that
those
kind of
things.
Stuff. We could maybe limit to that dollar amount.
Even breathing apparatus, if you need that.
We're required.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would still feel better if we had even just a jacket or something that was logoed, so when they do come to a customer's door and they knock on the door, it's not just some random person, hey, you know, I'm Jed, and he's just dressed like I'm dressed today, you know, just like a bum, and I'm coming in to fix your,
you know,
your
I,
sewer.
In fact, I could go along with that, Mark.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just going out to Smith and Edwards and getting your kit, as opposed to ordering some jackets with logos and things. I wouldn't have so much problem with that.
Okay.
Makes sense, and then a couple other items. Our office supplies, do we purchase those at like Costco or Sam's?
We have Costco, Sam's, and most of our office supplies come through Granite Office.
I think we ought to try to get them all through Costco and Sam's if
sometimes
we can.
Sometimes it's more cheaper to go through Granite Office.
Okay. It's just when you pay somebody to deliver stuff to you,
they
you
deliver
usually
for
pay
free.
More. Okay. And then schools and conferences, even if they're mandatory, I think the board ought to have a chance to approve them in advance. And as opposed to finding out that somebody went to a conference or a school without us knowing it in advance.
Okay.
And I just, those are the things that came to me.
One other thing about the educational opportunities is we participate in a program, and I'm assuming it would be open to this organization as well through Weber Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a state program, but they get funding from the state, and they will reimburse you 30% of the cost of educational opportunities for career advancement. So, and they're pretty lenient. Like, we send our guys to Rocky Mountain Lift Association training every year, and they pick up 30% of that cost. They pick up 30% of the thing that we send them to called Save Me, our groomers training, anything that's kind of technical education, they'll mm-hmm. pick up 30% of the cost.
That's cool. Okay,
yeah. Cool.
That's good information.
Yeah.
And that's all I have.
Okay, Ron?
Treasurer's report. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments, suggestions, anything on the treasurer's report? I'm hearing a no.
No.
Okay. Thank you, Carrie. I'd like to move on to item F, request for motion to adjourn the public meeting for a closed strategy session to discuss the acquisition of real property, including any form of water right and any pending or reasonable imminent litigation. I need a motion on item F.
I'll make the motion that we move to closed session.
I'll second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.